Amen. That makes the Father's love for us even greater, doesn't it? Amen, church? Amen. Take your Bibles, and it's really not a Father's Day message, but we're going through 1 John. So go to 1 John chapter 2, and we've been looking at three parts of a passage in verses 18 through 27 dealing with Antichrist or false teachers. I really wish that chapter 2, 28 through 3 in a Bible was ahead of this passage, because we're going to be blessed next week as we look at the blessings of abiding in Jesus. But today we're going to finish this three-part message on Antichrist alert. Now, as we continue through our exposition of the book of 1 John, we come to a section where the author addresses the false teachers and the Antichrist, people who were against Christ or instead of Christ, who opposed Christ. And the Bible speaks of one man who is to come in the tribulation period, the Antichrist, but it also speaks about many Antichrists who come in the spirit of the Antichrist. And you don't need to search too far in the Bible to find out why this world's in the shape it's in. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. This is a very evil spirit that we see in the world today. Antichrists are not like the false teachers per se and the rank and file lost people. These people hate the church. They hate Christ. They come into the church to try to divide and pull out of the church as many Bible believers as they can with them, or people we thought were Bible believers. Now, John exposes these false teachers and tells us how to detect them. Number one, we saw 2 weeks ago, they attack Christ. The Antichrist has a time. It's not now. It's during the tribulation period. He is a spirit of spiritual error and a deceiver. Then we saw last week that they abandon the church. They desert the fellowship and they deny the faith. They desert the fellowship because they deny the faith. Now today we're going to finish this three-part mini-series within 1 John as we deal with the Antichrist alert and see the third trait of these Antichrists is they assault the Christian. And our text is in verse 20 and 21 and verse 24 through 27. So let's stand in honor of God's word and we'll begin to read that, okay? Chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. But you have. Now he's making a great contrast here between believers and unbelievers. He's talking about the unbelievers in verse 19 that didn't stay with us. They left. It might be manifest. They were never part of us, right? But praise God for verse 20, because it lets us know that the doctrine of eternal security is true, because they confirm the doctrine of eternal security. They remain, right? But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now go down to verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. In that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, and shall remain and continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that God has promised us. What? Even say it with me, church. Okay, some of you act like you don't have it, right? I'll say it again. God has promised us what?
Eternal life.
If we're in Christ, right? These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you have no need. Now, who does this anointing abide in, church? Select believers or what? Every believer, right? And he says, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you have no need that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, that is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Father, I pray that as we in these last days are under assault, Lord, it just feels like the swamp is too big. It feels like the heresy and the false teaching is too much. And Lord, it's easy to get discouraged for us who remain in Christ and remain in the truth and have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's just overwhelming, but we are promised one thing. You promised us that you will build your church. And Father, never let us look at the church as a whole and get discouraged, because the true church will survive. The true church will remain. And thank you for those promises. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. They assault the Christian. And again, it can be overwhelming many times. It can discourage us. People, especially who preach and teach God's word, because you are much more aware of the error that comes out and comes that way. And you're just overcome by it many times. We think we have a deep state in America. This is an even deeper state. It's intimidating. But we have the promise of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Look at that. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we have a twofold arsenal in our text today in regards to confronting the assault of these antichrists and false teachers against Christians. Number one is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And number two is the Word of God. Now, let's look at the first one. In verse 20 and 21 and verse 27, we have experienced the anointing of the Spirit. Now, in verse 19, what enables us not to be like them who leave the fellowship and leave Christ? Now, we're not talking about people who are half-hearted in their church attendance. We're not talking about somebody that leaves a fellowship and goes to another Bible believer. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people that actually turn their back on Christ and the Word of God and the things of God. But what enables us to remain, not to be like those in verse 19? What? We prove the doctrine of eternal security by remaining. Okay? This is so wonderful. It's in our text here. Why are we not like those in verse 19? Why are we like those in verse 20 who says, but you have an unction from the Holy One? What is the difference? The difference is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And we're not going to be like, what a contrast here. I hope everybody under the sound of my voice can focus on the Word of God today and focus on this. You have the anointed living in you, right? Don't let the people that do other things in the name of Christ deceive you and seduce you. The anointing is being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Notice verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One. Why? You're not like those in verse 19 who are not going to remain with us. From the Holy One of God, and you know all things. So there's a great contrast here between verse 19 and verse 20. And I hope and pray that everybody in the sound of my voice here today is in verse 20. It's a stark contrast from those who don't have the Holy Spirit of God. Do y'all catch what I'm saying today? Amen. You can't remain if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God. You have nothing within you to enable you to do that, right? But you have the Holy Spirit of God. That's what keeps us from giving up, right? Brother Rex, even though you're going through a lot of medical problems right now, that's what keeps you from going up. You have God, amen? You have faith in Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. Now, the anointing refers to the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Remember, he made that promise to the disciples in John 14, verse 17, John 15, 26, and John 16, 13. Now, listen closely to what your pastor is about to say. You have an unction from the Holy One, from the Holy One. Who is called the Holy One in Scriptures? It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Yeah, I believe it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, who indwelt us with the Holy Spirit of God at the time that we were saved. The Holy One provides this anointing. Again, I believe it's Jesus, and he's given this title numerous times in Scriptures. So that means that we now have the internal abiding teacher who guides us in all truth. Okay? Verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Believers can know the truth from a lie, right? We can know error from truth. We can know the false. We can know the Antichrist, spirit of the Antichrist, and the Antichrist from a true teacher, right? Because we have the Spirit of God living within us. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you have no need that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and that is true, and is no lie, and even if it had taught you, you shall abide in him. We have the internal abiding teacher living within us. Now, we got a problem here we got to address in verse 27. John tells his readers that you have no need that any man teach you. And I know some people that take that verse and say, I don't need to be under a pastor. I don't need to be under a teacher. I don't need to be in church. Bible tells me I can know all truth myself. But pray tell me, unless there's somebody more experienced to guide you in Bible interpretation, you're not going to understand it, okay? This text is not teaching that you don't need human teachers in your life. Let me say some thoughts here. We know that the Bible affirms human teachers, right? Number two, therefore John does not rule out a human teacher. Number three, John himself is teaching us today. And I'm teaching you what John said, right? You can't say I have no need of a human teacher. And then also, the false teachers were insisting that the apostles, this is the context, the false teachers were insisting that the apostles' teaching was not enough. Remember Gnosticism that had come into the church here that he was addressing? They denied the humanity of Christ. They thought that you had to have Christ plus higher knowledge. You know, it's not totally in Jesus Christ. So Paul is addressing them in its context. Now, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit is called illumination. The Holy Spirit teaches us truth. We don't have revelation. Revelation is something that was given to the apostles and others who wrote the original scriptures, right? The Bible was given to us in the doctrine of revelation, the doctrine of inspiration. But for us to understand it, we got to be illumined, enlightened, and given understanding from the Holy Spirit of God, right? So that's when I've lost you already, and we're on target here, okay? So y'all hang with me, okay? Are y'all hanging with your pastor this morning? I'm going to be gentle with you, okay? So just hang with me. I'm not going to do you no harm. I'm going to help you, okay? When you open up the Bible, you don't get revelation, you get illumination. You're not an apostle who wrote the original scriptures. That's the doctrine of inspiration. God revealed himself to mankind through a book, right? But now you have understanding of what he has written. We test the spirits, whether they be of God. Look in chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And how do we test them? We test them by what was given to us, the apostles' teaching, those he taught, and they taught us. And that is our guide, that is our standard. It must line up with the Word of God, right? So, we must embrace, if you will, experience the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If not, we're going to be like those in verse 19 who don't remain, okay? But praise God. I don't know how, I know I'm beating it too much here, I know. But folks, people say, well, you were saved and they got lost. No, they never had it, okay? The text proves it. If you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you will remain, right? You will remain. You can't lose what you never had, right? Are y'all following me? Amen. The Bible teaches the doctrine of eternal security. And everyone here today is affirming that doctrine because you are remaining. Don't worry about those that left. Well, you worry about their soul. But thank God that you remain because you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Now, let's go to the second battle or weapon in our arsenal against false teachers. Not only must we have the anointing of the Spirit, but in verse 24 and 26, we must embrace the authority of the Scriptures. I am amazed today as I see how many are leaving the Bible and what the Bible teaches. Well, I know it says that, but I feel this. Well, whatever you're feeling, if it's not in the Bible, you're getting the wrong feeling, right? And you need to check where you're getting your authority from. This Bible we have in our hand is our sole source of authority for faith and practice right here. This is it. If it doesn't line up with the Scriptures, it's not of God. So we must embrace the authority of the Scriptures. We see that in verse 24 through 26. One of John's favorite words in 1 John is abiding, the word abiding. If you abide in me and I in you, it's the word remain. He remains in us, and because he remains in us, we remain in him, right? The word appears 23 times in the book of 1 John. Now, here's the crux. The word abide both talks about not only our union with Christ, but also our communion with Christ. John 15 talks about those who abide in the vine. There is a union with Christ. We're in Christ. But there, it also speaks of communion. After we're in union with him, after we're in Christ, baptized into his life, death, burial, and resurrection, inseparable union there, we're in the body of Christ. He is our Lord and our Savior. After that, there is an ongoing communion with him through prayer and through fellowship and remaining with the fellowship. Okay? So if your communion is not what it ought to be, you're going to suffer. Don't blame your union, because if you're united to Christ, you're going to remain and you're going to commune with him, right? Now follow me here. We are to remain in the teaching of Christ, which we received at conversion. That's what he's talking about here. To abide in his teaching is to abide in the Father and Son. He tells us that there. Now, the world says Jesus plus equals everything. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus plus nothing equals everything, right? If you have Jesus, you have everything you need to live in godliness in this life. You have everything to get you to heaven, right? There is not Jesus plus. You're getting on dangerous grounds when you get on the plus, because it's Jesus alone. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Amen? So it's not Jesus and, it's Jesus plus nothing. Now, as we get ready to close here, and I'm giving you, by the way, I forgot to tell you, I'm giving you the PM service, and I'm going to give you tonight the AM message, because the PM message was shorter, and I know you want to get to Father's Day restaurants, okay? See how merciful your pastor can be? God promised us eternal life in his Son and the Spirit and the apostles' teaching. The Spirit and the apostles' teaching always agrees, okay? If what man teaches goes against or beyond what those who knew him taught, then they're not of God, okay? Now, I want you to turn with me to Titus chapter 1. I want everybody to turn to Titus chapter 1. I want to look at this promise of eternal life. And before I read that, I want to read verse 25 again. And this is the promise that God hath promised us, even eternal life. True or false, does God go back on his promises? No. Now look at Titus 1, 1 through 3. The promise of eternal life. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life. Now, in Bible, hope doesn't mean wishful thinking. It means confident assurance. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised us before the world began. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now listen to your pastor very closely. I'll be as loving as I can. God has never ordained to save men and women by skits and drama and anything else. He is ordained through the preaching of the gospel. Amen? Through the preaching of the word. But in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. This is what the Spirit confirms, and it's what the Word says. We believe it, and we abide in it, and we have eternal life, right? I don't know how to tell you else, this church. As I was studying all this week, and I looked at that, at the contrast between verse 19 and 20, about those who don't remain and those who do in verse 20, my heart was blessed. I said, thank you, God, for placing your Holy Spirit within me. Amen? And you will never take it away. All heads bowed, all eyes closed as our musicians come. Father, there may be someone here today that doesn't have this hope. It's only come through the union with Jesus Christ. It only comes by repenting of our sin and placing our faith in Christ alone and his work on the cross. We can't go to heaven any other way. There's no human merit. There's no human achievement. There's no work that we do. We simply realize that we're sinners. We realize that there's not salvation in us and in any other, but the Lord Jesus Christ, who's your eternal Son, who died on the cross in our stead, in our place. Father, if there's one here without Christ today, I pray, Father, they'll fall to their knees and say, have mercy on me, God, a sinner. I pray that you'll save me. And I'll make that known to the fellowship of the church. Follow you in obedience and believer's baptism, and I will be in church where I can be taught the Word of God. I believe, church, in these last days, it's imperative that we be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to get the full benefit of what God has to tell us in His Word. You might miss that one message that has a great blessing for you. I believe that in these last days, we need to be even more committed to these things. So, Father, if there's no one here saved today, I pray you save them today. And thank you for the promise that you made, the hope of eternal life. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.